Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I really appreciate Stephen's testimony there, just about the power of Christ in the believer's life and the ability to set free from any sin. In Christ, we are freed from all that has held us captive. Any sin that has enslaved us, Christ has set us free from that. And I share a similar story as Stephen as well. My teen years, I did get trapped in secret sin as well. And just discovering the personal relationship with Christ is so powerful in finding freedom from any kind of bondage in the believer's life. But here in Romans chapter 12, we'll start here in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Father, I thank you for this time here this morning that we have to look at your word here, Father. Would you illuminate before our eyes, Father, and before our understandings, Father? And would we, Lord, be surrendered to applying whatever you would have to us, Father, here from the scriptures, Father? Would your Holy Spirit have his work and his will and way here, Father, this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just walk through the text here and look at specific pointers through the text here and specific words, and just the Paul's focus here to the believers here in Rome. He says, therefore, he starts the passage, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He says, therefore. Why do you think he put that word therefore there in the text? Well, obviously, therefore is there for a reason. So what is the whole book of Romans about? We see in chapter 3, we're all sinners. Everyone here in this earth, saved or unsaved, we're all sinners. All of us have done wrong things. Romans chapter 6, sin deserves a wage, a penalty. And this is obviously the Romans road that we all share with people when we're out soul winning or just giving the gospel. Romans chapter 5, Christ's death is sufficient to cover our sins. So Paul puts this word therefore here, present your bodies because you're saved, because Christ has delivered you from sin. Christ came and gave his life on the cross to deliver you. He paid for all your sin. So why should you serve him? Because Christ gave his life for you. And look one chapter over here, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. This is another reason why Paul's saying to give your life wholly to God. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, in verse 33 of chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Why give your life wholly to God as a sacrifice? Why? Because God deserves glory. He deserved the worship. He deserves the sacrifice. He deserves the lives of every single person, saved, unsaved, anyone who is walking the face of this earth. Christ has created every person, and he deserves their body, their mind, their heart. He deserves their undivided worship, their undivided service. So why should our bodies and our lives be a sacrifice to God? Because he owns us. He gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. He gave his life for us. What better sacrifice should we give back and return to him than our lives? Because his son gave his life for us. So that word there, therefore, is very key in just showing, you know, why do we give our lives to God? Why do we have this immense debt that God deserves from us? Because of his sacrifice for us. Purposefully live differently because you are saved and because Christ deserves your all. Why should we live different than this world? Why are we living for Christ? Because he deserves our all as our Savior. And next, I want to see here, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Present. What does that mean there? The word present kind of has the idea of surrendering. Almost like a soldier after maybe he loses a battle with another country or he loses a war. He goes and presents his sword to them. I surrender. I give it up. I give my power to fight you. I give up my power to attack you any longer. Or maybe it's another country waving a white flag and saying, I surrender. We give it up. Present your bodies. Surrender your bodies. A living sacrifice to God. Don't hold anything back. No retreat. No reserves. Don't hold anything back from God. He deserves your all as a believer because of the sacrifice he has made for us on the cross. He deserves us to present our bodies completely to God. And then look at this verse here. It says, they present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. These Romans and the Jews here in the church at Rome were very familiar with the sacrificial system, whether it was maybe with the Jews, their sacrificial system, or maybe it was even just pagan sacrifices. They knew the, you know, how an animal would be brought to an altar and be killed, and the shedding of blood there in a sacrifice. They knew what that was like. And the surrender of the animal, just giving its life on the altar. But he doesn't just say a sacrifice, because that would mean something dead. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is given wholly and completely for a cause, but yet is still alive and able to live and to serve that cause. Making a sacrificial decision is to make a decisive dedication. Living wholly and completely for God and for his service needs to be done. It's a decisive decision, one that we can't just, you know, fall into. It's not one you stumble into. It's a decision that has to be made purposefully. Holiness of life only comes through a deliberate acts of will. If we as a believer are going to live a holy and consecrated and surrendered life to God, we need to make a purposeful decision to say, God, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to hold on to my own life. I'm not going to keep any of this for me. I'm going to live wholly and completely for you. You deserve my life. You deserve my all. I'm surrendering all to you, and I'm living solely and completely for you and not for myself, not for this world, not for Satan, not anything that's dear to myself. I'm living for you. And it's a decision that has to be made. And yes, as young people, many times we come to a place in our life where we surrender. Maybe it's at a camp. Maybe it's at a church service. Maybe a youth rally or whatever. When we go forward to the altar, we make the decision to say, God, I surrender my life to you. I give it to you. Maybe we can think back to a decision like that in our life. I know I can, specifically. But it really is a day-by-day decision to die to self and say no to what I want to do and yes to what Jesus wants me to do. That's the kind of sacrifice Paul is calling these believers to make. Why? Because Christ gave his all for us. What little is some little sacrifice that we can make in saying no to what I feel like doing in the moment in comparison to Jesus' sacrifice, his complete sacrifice to God on the cross and saying yes to the Father's will and sacrificing his life on behalf of us. You see, as New Testament believers, we oftentimes don't really understand completely the picture of a sacrifice, but these Jews, they could picture it in their minds way better than we even could. And the analogy that Paul's making here hit home for them way more than I'm sure it does for us. But understand the death to self, the death to a creature, to anything as a sacrifice. You know, as a dead thing here on the altar, that thing, that, you know, it couldn't make its own decisions anymore. It was dead. And we as believers, the old man's been crucified. We're dead to ourselves. You know, we don't deserve to make any decisions as a human being for what we desire. As God's children and as saved individuals, he deserves our all. He deserves our whole and complete service for him and for his will and his desires. God, because he has saved us, because he died, he sent his son, he gave his all for us, he deserves our all, our whole, complete service for him. I find it interesting how he closes this verse. He says, which is your reasonable service? Reasonable service. And even before that, he says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You know, sacrificing ourselves to God and giving our lives wholly to God and offering it up on, you know, on an altar, so to speak, should be a holy life that's preserved for God. You think about the sheep that were set aside for the sacrifices there in the Old Testament. They were preserved. They were. You know, you brought the best sheep you had to God for a sacrifice. You didn't bring the ones with blemishes and with you know, stains or anything on the sheep that would make you not want to keep the sheep. You brought your best to God. And as believers, if we're gonna bring our lives to God as a sacrifice and say, God, take my life and use it, that life has to be spotless, pure, holy, consecrated to God. And that's the kind of sacrifice that God deserves. The sacrifice of believers who have kept themselves for him and who have said no to the world, who said no to anything that might defile themselves in his sight, and have laid down their lives and kept themselves blameless and spotless from the world for his service, a holy sacrifice. And he says that's acceptable to God. If God isn't Lord of all in your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Old and young alike, this applies to all of us. Constantly, every day, saying no to ourselves and anything we desire, and saying yes to what God desires of us. Set your affections, the things you want in life, the American dream, whatever you're living for, set your affections on things above. Things above, that's God's will. Make God's will your desire, not on things of the earth. This earth is going to burn up. It's going to pass away, you know? Nothing here in this earth is going to last. Possessions, wealth, even friendships for that matter, nothing's going to last. Set your affections, the reason you're living, your desires, on things above, heavenly things, eternal things, not on things of the earth. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And this is the type of surrender and sacrificial living that is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. Believers who are salt and light in the earth, believers who have aren't just living for themselves. You know, if a believer is living for the world, the light isn't going to shine like a believer who is living completely for God. It's going to be hid under a bushel. Their testimony isn't going to shine forth. The salt isn't going to have the same savor, the same strong flavor, so to speak, in the world if a believer is being diluted by the things of the world and the earth. Don't dilute your desire to serve Christ and your surrender to his cause with anything in the world. Live wholly and completely for his will, his desire, his service, and his cause. And like I read here earlier, it says, which is your reasonable service. This is the only rational response to what Christ has done for us, like the rest of the chapters in the book of Romans talk about. This is the only viable, the only rational response, the only natural outflowing that we should surrender our lives to God. This is our only reasonable service for him. He deserves our all because of all he has done for us. He gave all for us. He deserves all from us. A completely surrendered believer glorifies God. And that really is the crux and the thought of this whole passage. Complete surrender does bring glory to God. And what does that look like in the life of a believer? Giving up all of our self, our desires, our ambitions, our dreams, our plans, and saying, God, I surrender this to you. It's all on the altar. I'm not holding on to any of it. And obviously, this is a style of message we a lot of times hear preached to teenagers, but to, like I said earlier, to old and young alike, making the decision to say, God, I want your will, not my will. I want your path. I want to follow you, not my own desires, not my own dreams, not my own plans. Look at verse 2 here. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is what the believer should look like as they're living in the world, not being conformed to the world, not living according to the way that the world lives. Don't be fashioned into the direction that our culture is heading. Our culture is totally anti-God. And if we just look at around us, even at the news, the billboards, the mall, anything with a lot of the world's presence, we see it's obvious. It's headed in such a direction that is contrary to God's will in this world. Right. Ephesians 2, verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how you lived before you were saved. Don't make those same decisions now. The old man's dead. Sure, you have the flesh that's tempting you, but don't do the things of the old man. Don't do the things of the world. live like you actually are, a saved man, a new man. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Christ gave himself to redeem us and to save us from the world. So for us to turn around and live for the world, to make decisions that our flesh wants, and to live according to our own desires and contrary to God's will, is to almost spit in God's face in the sacrifice that he made for us in saving us from the world, saving us from our sins, and saving us unto eternal life. Don't be conformed to the world, but what? Be transformed. Live like you really are, a believer, a new man in Christ. Live like you really are in Christ. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. This implies a whole and through transformation. The renewing of your mind. Rather than allowing the world to squeeze you into its own mold, Paul told the believers to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. To be transformed has the idea of your mind thinking different thoughts, your heart having different motives, different desires. You're going about your life differently because of your heart. Not just doing things on the outside differently because we're trying to look the part, look like, you know, we're in church, we're saved, we're supposed to look this way. No. Through and through, actual transformation coming from the heart. Not having the same mold, as it were, to speak, of the world. The world's trying to shove us to look a certain way on the inside. But that's not God's desire for us. God wants us to live his will through us as a clean channel for his desires and for his will to be spread around through our lives. And what does the verse say? It says, by the renewing of your minds that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. As a believer, if we're living completely surrendered lives for God, we're going to show forth his name, and we're going to bring so much glory to Christ because of our lives and because of our surrender, because of our dedication to living for him. That is the only way he can be lifted up, is through our surrender and our service to him. I think of Paul and the statement he made in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul was able to say, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to give myself for the cause of Christ. Why? Because earlier in his life, he made decisions to say no to his own desires, to his own self, to his own life. Sure, he got saved, yes, but he followed God. He surrendered his life. And time and again, Paul faced persecutions. He faced so many adversities, so many just opposition as he lived for God. As he lived a holy and completely surrendered life for the gospel. Philippians 1 verse 2 says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now I also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That was Paul's heart. And he ran his race well. Why? Because he was okay in living a completely surrendered life for Christ. And as we just think about our lives here, do we have that same kind of heart as the Apostle Paul, in desiring to live holy and completely for Christ? Romans here implores the believers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. That's not comfortable. That's not always enjoyable. That's not always an easy life to live as a living sacrifice. Someone who's dead to all their desires, living completely for Christ. That's not always fun, but are we willing to do it because of all Christ has done for us? And because of the surrender, and because of the sacrifice he has made on behalf of us? Why? because he simply loved us. He looked down and saw a rebellious human race and decided, I want to save that person. I want to save Josiah. I want to save, and put your name there. And he sent his son to die for your sins as a rebellious human so you could be saved. And the only natural response to that is to say, God, you can take my life. I surrender it to you. Take it, use it. Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's today, whether it's my whole life, my career path, any other bigger decisions in your life, saying, God, take my life. Use it. I surrender it to you. And that's my desire for each of us here today, that we would not hang on to our lives, not hold dearly this world or our life, but to give it wholly and completely to God and for his service. Pastor.